The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's three jumpers in the afternoon, Bangor, Kempton and Newcastle, providing that Kempton and Newcastle pass their morning inspections. And then it's the usual all-weather fair on Friday evening from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
I'm very well indeed, Mark. And how's yourself?
Good. I'm good. Glad to see some jump racing back as well.
Yeah.
Jump racing returned on Thursday.
That's right. Again, a little bit frosty and snowy everywhere, but looking at the forecast, I think it's going to relent slightly. And let's hope that we can get a little bit more of the action on the turf and over the jumps.
Hopefully so. Particularly because there's a very good weekend coming up, Pimmy. We've got the Betfair hurdle, we've got the Denman Chase.
Yeah.
Plenty of good racing coming up this weekend, and a bit of news as well regarding the Denman Chase before we get stuck into Friday's action. And we talked on some of the earlier podcasts this week about the chances of Coney Gree, and if he were to win this, it would possibly put him in the picture for a Gold Cup tilt. Well, the news today is that Harry Topper is in good form. Apparently as good a form as he was when he won the race last year, when he beat Alpha Off by 25 lengths and bottomless ground. And conditions are going to be testing, so he's going to have that in his favour. But he was disappointed on his reappearance this time round.
Yeah, he was. I'm not a big fan, to be honest, of Harry Topper. He's a very good horse, don't get me wrong. I just think he's had his jumping issues and they're still possibly not ironed out. But obviously the heavy ground, they go a little bit slower, he can measure his fences a little bit better, and obviously that's when he comes into his forte. So positive vibes coming from the Kim Bailey yard as well, regarding him, which is always positive. And again, I'm sure he loves that track, long, staying, and he comes into his own there. But me personally, he's about an 8-1 chance, something like that. I think I'd be looking elsewhere, really.
Yeah, he is 8-1 in the market, yeah. Hoobland de Zobo is 100-30, 72 for Coney Gree. Unionist 4-1, 9-2 for Holywell. Takander Soy is 6s, 8 for Harry Topper, 9 for Rajdani Express, and 14-1 for Double Ross. I told you it was the 50-1 outsider there. So, anything in there that shouts out to you? I mean, we were talking about the chance of Coney Gree earlier in the week. He's obviously a novice going places.
Yeah, I would be using that as a stepping stone for him, really.
Yep.
I'll be taking him here, getting the experience with the more experienced horses, getting him to jump round with these better horses. And that's a stepping stone, hopefully, for the RSA.
Yeah.
So for me, if I was the connections, I'd say, yeah, let's take our chance. Brilliant if we can win. But really and truly, let's put that experience to the test and let's get him so that when he goes back to novice company, he's got that under his belt. So it's a positive move by the Bright Stocks, to be fair. And as I say, wouldn't be disappointed if he did get beat, as long as he gets that experience.
Yeah. If he was yours, would he absolutely be going to the RSA rather than thinking about the Gold Cup?
Oh, listen, he's all the time in the world, isn't he?
Yeah.
So why go two rungs up the ladder when you only need to go one?
Yeah. But if he were to bolt up in this, would you not change your mind?
Definitely. I'd stick that novice route while you can.
Yeah.
You know, because again, if you've got this young, talented individual, do you want to take him to Cheltenham against the older horses and maybe finish his career? Because, he just might break his heart.
Yeah.
That's how I would see it. He's got it before him. Yeah, great idea what they're doing to get the experience. But for me, definitely the RSA.
Play the long game.
Yeah.
Okay, plenty of other good racing coming up this weekend as well. We're going to see the return of Cider Grugy as well in what used to be the game Spirit, Pimmy. Do you have an opinion on his return? Do you think he'll be ready to go?
It's welcomed, isn't it? It's welcomed. I was slightly concerned when I read Jamie Moore's article yesterday saying that he was, going to leave no stone unturned, basically, and he was going there all guns blazing.
Yeah.
But surely, after an absence like he's had, it's a little bit like Spinter Sacra. We all want him to win, but by the same token, we just want him to get round safe in one piece, get the benefit of that run under his belt, and then look to 33 days away for Cheltenham.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's not be-all and end-all to win. The main thing is get some race course experience under that belt again, get that good gallop into him, and then hopefully he's just got enough time to prepare himself for the big one.
Yeah. Okay. 8 to 11 he is, by the way, at the top of the market for that, for anybody who does want to back him on his reappearance. But I'm in agreement with you, Pimmy. I wouldn't. That's not his target, is it?
It's not his big day, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. Yeah.
No, the big thing there is come back safe and sound, had a good run,
yeah,
enjoyed it, and then you can look to firing the gun sort of thing.
Yeah, sticking with the Cheltenham Festival theme, Fahin, who's current favourite for the champion hurdle, apparently we might see him again before Cheltenham. They're considering going to Gorham Park with him, which is William Mullin's local track, and it will be the similar kind of route as Hardy Eustace took before he won the champion hurdle. So it'd be good to see another run in him, wouldn't it, before the big day?
Who are we to question William Mullin's training prowess and his ability to place in his horses? Yes, Hardy Eustace went down that road. My only slight reservation is, if you go and you just pick up a little niggling injury,
it'd be so frustrating, wouldn't it?
You'd just be thinking, we've got to get him right now. We're on the back foot a little bit. It might sound like I'm saying run scared.
Yeah.
But, you know, by the same token, I suppose somebody could turn around and say, well, actually, you know, he can pick up a nick on the gallops. He can bang himself. He can cast in his stable.
Yeah.
So if he's fit and well, why not run? But I think there'll be two sides of the coin for me. And The great thing about Mullins is he's got so much strength in depth that, you know, if Fahin picked up a little niggle, it's not the end of the world. Whereas for the smaller guy, Fahin, if it was in his yard, would be in the cotton wool sleeping with the trainer.
Yeah.
You know, so it'd be great to see him, but I'd be holding my breath the next day checking that everything was all right.
He's got a few other options, though, hasn't he? He's got Hurricane Flying there, of course, Arctic Fire, Annie Power, Undersurf. They go that route with him, Vortor as well.
Yeah.
It's not as if he's got to rely on Fahin, I suppose.
If it was a sweetie shop, he's got plenty in there, hasn't he?
He has, yes.
Yeah. He'd get a bit like some of our colleagues, wouldn't he? Mentioning no names.
No, I wouldn't want to mention any names.
No, exactly.
Just a final bit of news before I move on to Friday's action as well. We talked about this yesterday because it broke on Wednesday. Dynast out of the festival. He's not going to defend his Ryanair crown. He's got a sore behind, so he's not going to run. But it does open the Ryanair up a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, I think you've misread that. I think he's got a sore hind, not behind.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so yeah. In a horse, you have a foreleg and you have a hind leg. And he's got a sore hind leg.
Oh, okay, no, thanks for clearing that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a sore behind, no. Sore hind.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame. But again, this is the nature of the beast, isn't it? They pick up these injuries, these horses. And that's what I say, you know, you'd think Dinas would have gone to the Ryanair all guns blazing, wouldn't you? But not to be the case, you know. And it's a shame because he's a real likeable horse, isn't he? And he's a grey, takes everybody's eye and imagination. And hopefully it isn't too serious and that we'll see him next season.
Yeah, hopefully so. Don Cossack, by the way, now the 4-1 market leader for the Ryanair. Q Card is 7s, 8s for Champagne Fever. Jacadam is 10-1 with John Spirit. Alpha off 12s with Balder Success and Marfilet. And then 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Any of those scream out to you, Pimmy?
I thought Don Cossack, the favourite's big chance, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some Shrewdies with a ticket with much bigger prices before Dinos came out, obviously. So
yeah, well, that's not a bad little ticket to be hanging on to, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, there'll be worse ones about, that's for sure.
Yeah. Right. Well, shall we leave it there? Is there anything else on your mind, Pimmy, before we move on?
Nothing that we could put out on air, I don't think. No. I mean, we had this conversation off air, but I don't think we want to take that any further.
Let's swiftly move on.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, hopefully we should have racing at Bangor on Friday, and Pimmy's got four races for us. He's going to look at three of the races to start with, and an interesting little end to the preview we're going to do here. But we'll start with the 210 at Bangor, which is a National Hunt Novices Hurdle qualifier. It's over 2 miles and 1 furlong. It's for 4 to 7 year olds, and we'll start here with Legal Royal, Pimmy, who's got ability but has been rather frustrating to date.
Yeah, he has, really. I mean, he'll like the soft ground, that is for sure. I just feel, having watched him run on a couple of occasions, really and truly, I think he needs a more of a test of stamina. I think 2.5 miles on a long galloping track, Weatherby, Newcastle, somewhere like that, would suit him. He ran well enough in defeat behind Definitely Red at Catterick last time out. That was over 2.3 miles. Definitely Red's a no-mug in his own right, so it wasn't a bad run by any means. But I just think, unless they're very proactive with him, as in jumping behind or even make the running, I think the 2.1 mile just might be on the little short side for him. I'd imagine he'll set off favourite. On official ratings, he's the best horse in the race off a mark of 131. But I'm prepared to take him on, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
And I'm going to take him on with the Pipe Runner. 22's taken. He was lodged on shot when he won at Fakenham. Admittedly, for me, it wasn't a great race, but he could do no more than win. Hopefully he'll set a little bit better tomorrow. Might be a bit more of a gallop going on for him. And I think he's interesting simply because he's got some good level of form, and I think he might just come into his own tomorrow afternoon. So I'm going to take the favourite on the Eagle Royal with the Pipe Runner. 22's taken.
OK, 22's taken for Pimmy in that one. Moving on to the 3.15 at Bangor next. This is a Class 4 handicap chase over 3 miles and 6 furlongs, 3.25 miles. And this ground will be pretty hard to get. It's for 5-year-olds and older, 11 of them in the lineup here. Pimmy, which ones do you like?
Well, 3 miles, 6, soft ground, core blimey. Anything could happen, really, couldn't it? Again, we saw the incidents at Foss Lass at the weekend. What the boy did didn't break any rules, did it? And to be fair, he was more than likely quite sensible to get the wind into the horse, get his wind back, get him a little bit of momentum there to go and jump that final fence for that decent bit of prize money. So for me, that wasn't wrong. But again, if some people did think it wrong, then the BHA need to look at the rule and maybe just juggle that about a little bit. But this is, oh, I'm only thinking about the same scenario happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, 3.6 miles, soft ground, not a you know, a high rated race either, so you know, it's an interesting one. I'm going to take a shot out of the blue. I'm going to go for a double figure price in the shape of Acre Rua, the Tim Fitzgerald trained runner. He's going to be 14, 16, something like that, maybe bigger. He's as slow as a boat. Slow as a boat. But 3.6 miles will suit him. Tim's been in good form of late. He had that nice bumper winner at Newcastle last week. And as I say, old Akarua, he's no superstar, but he'll jump and he'll stay. And he's got his opportunity tomorrow to pick up a nice prize.
OK.
Big, nice, big price.
Nice bit of each-way value there, then, in the shape of Acre Rua. The third race we're going to look at is the 3.50 at Bangor. This one is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 1 furlong. This one's for the 4-year-olds and older. It's 11 of them in the lineup for this one, Pimmy. And I suppose Aserem's going to attract a bit of attention here, coming here after that win at Toast last time. Has a penalty to defy, but in better nick than some of these.
I mean, I watched this horse win last week at Toaster when I was in here, the William Hill Studios. He was having his first run for Ben Pauling, and he really did it well. I'm not sure what he beat, but he could only win like he did. He won by 13 lengths. It was soft ground on that occasion. And you'd have to say that, you know, it's taken him a while to get his head in front. Having got it head in front, his confidence is sure to be buoyed. And I would imagine the needing to go now, because I would imagine the handicapper will have put him up more than £7.
Yeah.
So, you know, their hands are tied ever so slightly. But there could be a lot more to come from this fella, that is for sure. Again, King's Road, he was a winner last time out, but that was only a seller that he won. Seas of Green disappointed last time out, but prior to that had been in real good form. The Pier, I thought, ran well enough in third last time. And Gracchus is, if nothing but consistent. And again, he could take a minor place in tomorrow again. He was third of nine behind another flutter last time out. So much of a muchness, but if Aserem is in the form that he was when he won last week, then he's the one they've all got to beat.
OK. The final race we're going to look at is the 4.50 at Bangor. This is a Hunter's Chase over 2.5 miles. And you, when you walked into the office, Pimmy, which I asked you to do this podcast, and the first thing you said to me is, can we look at this Hunter Chase? Tell us why.
Well, first of all, there's 66 runners on the whole card at Bangor tomorrow, and 18 of them are in this Hunter's Chase.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. It's absolutely supported to the hilt, right? And then I just want to go through it. I have two nice horses at home to point to Hunter Chase, both rated around about 100, 125. Tomorrow in this Hunter Chase, you've got Hazy Tom 135, Hector's Choice 133, Never Own Up 128, Pasha de Polder 143, Act of Kalanisi 132. It gets better. Calgary Bay, handicap has taken a little bit of a dislike to him. He's dropped him about £10. He's only rated 140 now.
Yeah.
And we've got T for 3, 151. So, you know, we've got some really class acts competing in this Hunter Chase. They're picking up a prize of £1,300. If anybody knows the answer to this, on a postcard to William Hill Towers, because it baffles me completely. You know what I mean? This is a very, very hot race. And that's the highest rated. You've got plenty in the 120s as well. So whether they're looking towards qualifying them for the Cheltenham Festival, but again, you're getting tight on time now.
Yeah.
I think you've got to win two point-to-points or two Hunter Chases, or whether they're thinking trying to get qualified for Aintree. But, you know, you've got some real, real class acts in this race tomorrow. And, you've got Henrietta Knight, represented by Calgary Bay. You've got John Joe with Titchwood. You've got Paul Nichols with Pasha de Polder. You've got Dr. Newland with Never Own Up. David Loder's doubly represented. Is this an amateur sport? Or am I missing something?
Well,
lots of questions about this Hunter Chase. Lots of them. Anyway, we digress, diversify.
Yeah.
Can we find the winner?
That's the question.
Not going to be easy. T for 3, I think, was due to run a week or so ago, and he couldn't because he bruised a foot. So it was something in nothing, that. But he's obviously got to do it. But again, would 2.5 miles be a bit on the sharp side for him? Possibly.
Probably, yeah.
Calgary Bay, we haven't seen for a long time, but obviously high-class individual that he was. Last time we saw him was in a 2 mile five grade three at the festival back in March of 2013. So, you know, he's had a long break, but even so, he's a class act. And we've also got another nice horse in the shape of Hector's Choice, who's ridden off a mark of 133. So, you know, good race. I think T for 3 might find it a bit sharp here. So I'll go for the Nichols runner, Pasha de Polder, who, again, was very, very highly tried when we last saw him. And it was in a grade two at Cheltenham last time when he was, a long way, 6 of 10, 42 lengths behind Bywise. But even so, a fairly highly regarded individual for the Nichols yard. And he's only 8. You know, again, looking at T for 3, 11, Calgary Bay, 12. They are getting a little bit on in years. But whereas you've got this youngster at 8, there could be even more to come from him, couldn't there?
Yeah. Not so long ago since he was winning a Grade 3 handicap chase at Newbury off 145, so the
passing
holder.
So, you know, it's a smashing race. And as I say, I just, for the little man like me and my little owners, we wonder where it all goes to or where it's all coming from.
Mm.
But somebody out there might know. Studio at williamhill.co.uk if they know the answer to this.
We should get in touch with Young Topper. He's a Hunter Chase expert, isn't he?
Well, you could try and get in touch with him, but, I think he's gone ex-directory now. he's just not wanting to get hold of, really.
Right.
Difficult.
Okay.
I don't know whether he's hiding from someone or somebody or something. Who knows?
I don't know. I wouldn't like to speculate.
No, speculate to accumulate.
Yeah, right. Let's have a quick summary, Pimmy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
Well, we seem to have started this podcast that long ago that I've forgotten even where we were starting. Yeah, we're starting at Bangor in the 2:10, and we're going to take the favourite on there with the David Pipe runner 22s taken. We then go into the 3 mile 6 handicap chase, looking for value for you there for the informed trainer of Tim Fitzgerald's Acura Rua. He's definitely going to be 14.60 to 1. You might even get bigger on the day. And then we've got the handicap hurdle. I'm going for Azarim, who was a readied winner for the first time of asking for the Ben Pauling yard in the 10 to 4 race. And in the Hunter Chase, the highlight of the day at Bangor, 18 of them declared to go to post for this Open Hunters Chase. Some real superstars on show here. And I'm going to take the favourite T for 3 on with the Paul Nichols, Will Biddick combination, Pasha de Polder.
Fantastic. It's been a pleasure as always, Pimmy.
My pleasure, more than yours, young fella. Mine.
Enjoy it on Friday.
We will indeed.
So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capel will be the team in the studio. It's Bangor, Kempton and Newcastle providing the latter two pass their inspections in the morning, and Wolverhampton and Dundalk to finish off in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.